line, which you already have. If you
go in. The commitment they used to use was the obolib-obo2owl.
Yeah, that's a separate jar, but you can still use that if you want, but I would encourage you just to use altools for everything. And basically, you just type altools,
mm-hmm.
and it's order dependent, and then the name of either a file in any format, and then you do minus O, and then do you want to go towards OBO or to OWL?
To OWL.
Oh, it's so easy. So you just do altools space foo.obo minus O foo.owl. That's it.
Oh, okay. Nice. Okay.
If you go to the altools, so altools is now on GitHub, taking us to our conversation today, and if you, there's a page that tells you all about the altools, everything you ever wanted to know about the altools command line. It's called, I think, just command line examples. Yeah. And there's other stuff you may find useful there. So let me,
okay, yeah, I think I'm still using the SVN.
Right,
that's why the SVN version was trying to fail. Okay.
And there's other kinds of stuff in there. You can go either direction. You can do kind of processing on the file. Just, you don't need to worry about this yet, but we're working with someone actually on a rewrite. And it's going to be much kind of like better documented and easier to run and more modular. We're probably going to call it Robot, for Robot is an oboe tool. That's the GitHub at the moment, but I wouldn't bother going there yet because it's going to change a lot. But just to
put that on
the horizon. That's cool.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So, are we talking about GitHub?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plan, I guess, today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I guess before I was kind of encouraging you to, I sometimes like to have things to be like super granular and have to have a different repo for everything. So you'd have like one repo for your trait ontology and one for PO, but maybe that's a bit too granular for you. You'd end up with like separate trackers for each. And even though it's really easy to link trackers on GitHub, maybe you just want to keep all your ontologies in one repo.
Yeah. So Justin and I have been talking about this a little bit, and we've been looking at some different schemes and
mm-hmm.
trying to think about how we would use this and, you know, what the best way to move forward on this. Justin Priest is just going to join in here. You want to just pull your chair over?
Hello.
He just photo bombed us, or maybe video bombed us. I don't know what you call it. Yeah. So maybe we should look at kind of what's up there right now and talk about that, and then Justin and I were kind of drawing up some little schemas, and we could discuss, you know, the different options of how those might work and so on. I don't know.
Sure, yeah, let's do that.
Mm-hmm. Does that sound good?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I can share my screen. Maybe this is not my idea. Hang on a second. I think I have to open it up. So now let me try sharing my screen. Just in front of it. Okay, here we go. Oh, share screen. There we go. I'll shrink the chat down unless we need it. So presumably you guys can see the GitHub screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, good. So maybe that's one thing we should talk about first, Chris, is this decision about whether we would have one central repository or separate ones for each of the ontologies, or maybe a separate one for the dereference ontologies and then one for the application or specific, you know, crop-specific ontologies. Different thoughts on this. So right now, these are each what you would call a repository, right? The one that says ontology files.
Yeah. You have two repositories in your org.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So let's have a look at what's in plant trait ontology at the moment.
Okay, so this is the one that you guys set up last spring.
Oh, right, and, yes. Uh-huh.
And it looks like it was done using that Create Oboe script, or Create. There's a script that does this?
Yeah. Which is probably kind of over the top at the moment. It'll give you, you know, you've got a directory called images that you may or may not ever want to use.
Right.
Yeah, and I wasn't even sure what would go in the tools either, in our case.
Sometimes it's, you know, you just want little scripts that do little tasks on your ontology. Hold on a second. All right. So sometimes it's useful if you know, maybe there's little tasks you want to, you know, little scripts you want to run on the ontology just before the release. So for the release of the Go, we have a little script that checks to make sure that, you know, all of the kind of like the definition xrefs are, you know, are formatted correctly, you know, all that kind of thing that is maybe particular to your setup and go there. But it's not really important. It's sometimes nice just to have a standard structure for these things.
So in this format, though, you would have one of these for each of the ontologies.
You would, yeah. And that's maybe that's doesn't really make so much sense for you, maybe, because you're all under the same organization. The same people are going to be working on them. It can be useful if you split it off like that, because you can have separate editing rights for different ontologies. So let's say you had one group of collaborators, you want to work on one, and another group of collaborators. It depends kind of on your modularization.
Right.
But I think
might be a good option to have, because we will have different people working on different ontologies.
But I haven't used the GitHub version, but in SVN, I could control down to the folder what users could write.
Well, even there, you would still end up, yeah, I guess, no. Well, the thing is, in GitHub, though, I think it's pretty much per repo.
Important to know. And how does it differ, you know, I'm completely in the dark about how this is going to interact, like, with Amigo 2. Does it matter to Amigo 2 how this is set up?
No, not at all, no. It can make some of your configuration easier if you follow a standard directory structure, just as in, you know, Unix systems, you know, if you're working, jumping from one system to another, you know, you can always find certain things in /user/bin and other things at home.
Right.
And
so, and that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
So.
But it's not a big deal. I mean.
So this is kind of like one scenario. This is sort of like the granular scenario where the plant-tree ontology would have its own repository, whereas the second one that we put up here, that Justin put up here, is more of like a general ontology files folder, or plantium ontologies, we'd probably call it.
Yeah.
And then under that, right now it just has plant ontology, but under that it would have the different ones. And so this is similar to, we were drawing up a little schema here.
Mm-hmm.
You guys all see that? Yeah. And we were discussing this morning, or this afternoon, I guess it was. So this is another option, kind of. And then I was kind of drawing another version of it, how I thought maybe it would work. I don't know. So
yeah, I wouldn't have different directories for different formats. I would think of it more in terms of source files. And we can maybe separate release products. Think of this in terms of how you want to organize your files. And we can think about how you would organize the release products kind of separately. So generally, the way we do it, the Oboe and the Owl go in the same directory. That's pretty much standard. Sibling files. So you'd have po.oboe in the same directory as po.owl, at least as far as the release product goes.
They're just differentiated by suffix.
Yeah. That would be fine with me. I mean, to me, you know, so then we would have plant ontology, and so all of the files would be under this folder.
All the PO, yeah, there would be,
files.
Would just, yeah, mm-hmm. And you could do it so that you could have plant and then ontology, and then you could have source if you want to do it that way, but that maybe that's not necessary here, I think.
So that's kind of the way it is in this other one.
Yeah.
That's what you mean by source.
Yeah.
Which is so, Chris, in this repository for the Plant Trade Ontology, when you do a commit, where does the documentation go? It goes in doc? Like in the SVN?
Doc is entirely up to you. If you personally, I like to maintain documents in markdown format because they look nice in GitHub. And you don't need to use that doc directory, though. Maybe you want to keep it on the wiki as well. So that's another thing to think about in terms of the granularity. It makes a lot of sense to use it as a kind of combined product. To keep, if you're keeping documentation on the ontology, you want to keep it in the same wiki, in the same repo, I think. So if you think of the PO as a separate kind of like thing with its own little mini wiki, then having a separate repo is a good idea. If you just want the reference ontologies to be considered one unit and have one tracker and to have a kind of like more integrated kind of like wiki or set of markdown documents, then that's tending towards a kind of like a single repo.
So I think we're kind of talking about different things here, but I'm talking about like when I'm actually working on the ontology. So I just opened our SVN.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then, so when I do a commit, we put in comments, you know.
Sure, yeah, it's exactly the same. So go back, go back to the GitHub.
So that was my question, kind of where that ends up.
That doesn't end up in a folder. That goes as a commit message, just like,
right,
like it did in
SVN. Where would you see it is what I'm saying.
See where it says 9 commits? Click on that.
Oh, there.
And you're going to love GitHub compared to, you know, they just give you so many more options. You can comment on commits. You can kind of like close tracker items with commits. So these aren't very meaningful commits here because I was just doing the setup.
Right. So, for example, the adding list of traits from TRY database, that was the commit message.
Yeah.
Okay. I see.
And if you click on the, you can look at the, next to that, you can see the diff.
Where do you see that?
So every commit in GitHub gets a kind of this kind of MD5 checksum. So it has a little ID basically. So this is the diff. I mean, it's not very meaningful as a diff here because it's an entirely new file. But it's exactly the same as what you're used to, but better.
But I thought if we were working in OWL, we wouldn't be able to do diffs.
So yeah, this is something we've been trying to work with the OWL community to make their formats more difficult. What I'd actually maybe recommend doing, first of all, is switching to Protégé. But with Protégé 5, you'll be able to edit OBO files. So you can keep the source in OBO. I mean, and really OBO is now just another format for OWL.
Right, so, right. It's kind of a slimmer format.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. So at least for the beginning, you know, I think it makes sense for you to do that. And then you have the option of, today I'm going to work in OBO Edit. Tomorrow going to work in OWL. With the caveat that one of the main benefits of working in OWL is you get imports.
Right.
Which is really useful for linking your ontologies. Now you can do imports in OBO Edit, but it's a bit of a pain and I'll have to kind of walk you through in detail how that works.
Right. I think we kind of played with that a little bit, but yeah, I think it'd be, you know, when we start, the one ontology that we're really going to need this mostly for is the new plant stress ontology.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all based on myriading in other parts of other ontologies. And so that, you know, that maybe is a... So would you have to convert the other ontology to OWL and then myriad it in?
Nope. I mean, with Protégé 5, with the release that's about to come out, you will be able to be agnostic about the format.
I'm pretty frustrated with OBO Edit right now, so this sounds like really good news.
So, by default, does it automatically save to both, or do you have to set that up?
It will only save to one. It will save to the format that it loads by default. So it does the right thing by default. Then you'd have a separate kind of a release pipeline for you.
Well, but what I worry about is if we tell people, you can work in OBO or OWL, if we're going to get out of sync by some working in OBO, some working in OWL, if they're not automatically saving it in both formats.
Yeah, yeah. That would be horrible if someone accidentally saved it in both formats. So Yeah, I mean, just for the, it would be okay, you could go back, but it would make the diffs look horrible. So if you wanted to, you can work in dual oboe edit protege mode, and with just a little bit of care, I think you can easily protect against those kind of problems. But it sounds like maybe Lowell's ready to just jump into using protege full-time. Even so, you can use protege full-time, keep the source in oboe, and that way you get your nice diffs.
Right, right. That's
it
probably
just means you're able to use nested class expressions, which I don't think you need to do in the foreseeable, in the near future anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it sounds interesting. I might have to look into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We know, we for some of the, I think, so how long before this Protege 5 comes out? You know?
It's, I mean, you can do it now. You just have to do the conversion yourself using AllTools, which is a bit of a pain. I prefer if it's like built in. So let me show you the tracker on the Protege wiki. And it's just because they just kind of like, it's just a plumbing issue on their end that I don't know why they don't fix this. But here's.
You mean in Protege 4?
Protege 5. So everything's going to be 5 moving forward. So someone's made the pull request, so it's just a matter of someone doing this. So I mean,
you're gonna put it in the chat.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just looked up the Protege. Oh, so they have a beta version, and this is what you're saying still has this plumbing issue.
Yeah, but you know, the beta version is at this stage, it's much better than the production Protege 4.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is this.
And it looks like it's been merged in. Huh, maybe that means it's even in the latest version. I haven't checked. Mm-hmm. So let's see, Matt Horridge did that 21 days ago. Yeah, I don't know if we need to go into detail right now, but it's like real soon now, so.
So what I need to know though is when would you recommend starting to use Protege 5? You think it's, maybe you need to check and see if this bug has kind of worked out and then let me know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even a bug, it's just, it doesn't, well,
this issue, I mean, or it, whatever you want to call it.
Actually, yeah, it is a bug. But I guess it's not an ontology bug.
It's not a bug. This says it's beta 17.
It's not a bug, it's a feature.
Yes.
So it's not that you don't want.
Let's come back to this. Let's figure out. I think you're going to want, at least for your existing ones, just to keep them in oboe just now.
So I think that's probably wise. And then, you know, I think when we move into working on the plant stress ontology.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We can start, you know, working with the myriads and.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what I'd like to do once things are just in place, I'd like to just do a kind of look over them and review and just, and then that will help us kind of plan and say, okay, so this ontology really needs to be very interlinked with this other one. So we're really going to want to start editing this in Protege soon because that's too hard to do in Oboe Edit, for example. Whereas this one, you can just keep on tweaking an oboe edit for now, whereas this one, like the plant stress ontology, well, it's already in now, so why don't you use this?
You mean oboe, not oboe edit.
Yeah, well, you have that option. I mean, right. you can.
But you're saying we could still use the oboe, but do it in Protege.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that would be good. I'm sort of frustrated. I've been having problems with oboe edit, and I know no one's really, you know, I didn't bother to submit a issue yeah. because I figure they're just going to say, well, we're not supporting it anymore.
Yeah,
you
need a time machine if you want support.
Yeah, no one, but yeah, there's no one.
I would be happy. But
someone might say, oh, I know this problem. I have a workaround. So
yeah, no, well, I could try, but yeah. I'd be happy to move to Protege 5.
Mm-hmm. A question about the organization within the repos then. If we're going with the assumption that we can only secure at the repo level, but we know that we want to keep all of the ontologies bundled together, and we also know that there's going to be other things in this GitHub project, like website code and utility software, et cetera, does that mean that we go with the Plenium ontologies repo and organize all the ontologies by folder underneath that?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the permission thing is a worry for you, because you can just say, okay, you have to be a well-trained Plenium ontology editor to make commits in here. But it's GitHub, so anyone can fork, and anyone can like make changes on a branch in their fork and then make pull requests to you.
Right, and you're the one who...
Yeah.
You as the gatekeeper when they do that. But I really was voicing this out loud so that I could hear your opinion, Lal, on like that need, the level of granular security you think you might need, excuse me, from ontology to ontology.
I think that the people who are going to... I'm not so concerned about, you know, this group. I'm more concerned about the people who are working on these application ontologies.
But maybe they can go in separate repos. So maybe
yeah,
the reference.
That's where I was thinking. Maybe we could have one repo for the Plenium reference ontologies and one for the other ontologies.
Okay. And it could even be one repo per application ontology. Because the way I understand it is like the soy people, they're one unified group, and they'll want their own thing. And then
that makes sense.
And then like the rice. So we just started working with Leo, who's the new fellow who's working with Elizabeth Arnold, you know, who's an agronomist and has a master's in bioinformatics, and trying to get him, you know, to figure out how to work with a subversion repository. And we've kind of got him set up right now to work with the SVN, but
you're going to change your under his feet.
Yeah, but you know, I see it as kind of a learning process, and you know, once he kind of learns it there, then it'll be easy to transfer over to GitHub. But we just wanted to get the files because he, you know, he emailed me and said, well, I've been working on it offline. And I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't really work very well for us.
You know, you really got to instill the kind of commit early.
Yeah. I was trying to be very diplomatic about it on Tuesday, but.
Voulez-vous, the train has left the station.
offline? Stopped doing that years ago. So anyway, you know, but I think I don't think it's a big problem that, you know, they started there, and then once we get things set up and running at GitHub, we can just transfer that knowledge base over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think there's going to be, my point is that there's going to be quite a bit of, this group of curators is not very experienced in using kind of a system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
And yet I do agree with Chris that the amount of the updated feature list for an environment like GitHub online is, there are enough pros to that to outweigh the cons of having to go through the pain of getting people switched over time.
Yeah, I don't think switching them is, I think the big hurdle, we want to kind of make the hurdles as small as possible for these people. So, you know, that said, you know, what's the way that we can set it up so that it works for the back end and it works for the front end?
I like the idea of having a separate repo for each.
Let's go to our little diagram.
External
here.
Group, and then another one for the Plenium core ontology. Yeah. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. There's not that many, and then having one, two, or three other repos in parallel with the ontology ones to house. Actual software would not complicate.
So this is kind of what I was thinking. Plenium stuff could go. That stuff could go over there.
I am a creator of stuff.
But this is actually different stuff that Justin and I were talking about. But you know, so like Justin kind of drew this diagram, and then we were fiddling with it today. Mm-hmm. So it's maybe going to end up maybe being a combination of these two.
Yeah, you know, it might be Plenium ref ontologies, Plenium website, you know, where you keep your...
So each one of these would be a repository.
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't really need the website because it's either going to be an Amigo, which we can do an SVN, or do a fork of the Amigo code, or it's our Drupal site, which is Drupal, and there's not really anything.
I would... I'm not 100% with that statement. We're going to be having to do so much customization.
Oh, yeah. I guess there's the other stuff that we're going to do later.
Mm-hmm.
on the portal that there's going to be quite a bit of source code that needs to live somewhere. Plus, I want to move the, unless there's a repo already built in with the Santa Barbara group for the image annotation, I want to move our image annotation developer's source into the appropriate location in this environment as well. But what you were saying, Lal, about each of these being a repo, really just the top level ones would be the repos.
Right, I meant like this and, yes. and that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
So then I'm going to say right. Rentium. This will be like our, you know, maze trait ontology.
Yeah, sure.
Oops. The application ontologies or something. So then down here, let me move the Japanese over here. This is a different discussion. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and I won't do this. Let's sort out the ontology side of things first. I won't hijack the agenda. And then we can talk about maybe where the rest of it lives.
Yeah. So what I was talking to Justin about, you know, that I kind of feel more comfortable doing these things in kind of steps. And so I was kind of proposing to Justin that we set up one of our ontologies and start working there with it and see how the layout kind of works. And then maybe we want to tweak it before we like go whole hog and put everything.
Yeah. Yeah, another, you know, I love singing the praise of GitHub, but it just makes it really easy to, if you want to change the name of the repo, you can do that. You know, you can move, if you do git env, you move file, you move directories around, it cracks everything.
Oh, that sounds, it sounds yeah. so good. I'm really looking forward to this, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've just been kind of overwhelmed with getting everything up and running on this project, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We haven't done as much on this maybe as we should have, but there's been a lot of things happening around here.
Yeah, exactly.
As you know, there always is.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get this plant stage development, the plant structure development stage paper out,
mm-hmm.
which is way overdue. And so I worked on that a bunch during spring break. And what I'd actually like to see is, you know, there's some ontology that needs to be, changes that need to be done there. And I'd like to actually see that, get those changes made, get that paper out, do a final release of the PO before we move over here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I would just move over there as soon as possible. Yeah, you can do.
Are you going to reference the repo at all in the paper?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then, I mean, it's not like we're going to decommission the SVN, but at some point it's going to be out of sync with the GitHub, so. If we get moved to the GitHub and have the stuff there, then you can reference the GitHub version in the paper and it'll be up to date.
Well, we could. But so I would think, I mean, this is sort of another side issue, but I would think that we're going to have to put in some kinds of redirects, aren't we? Because in all our previous papers that reference the SVN.
We see, here's why you should always use Perls for reference.
Yeah.
I knew it was coming.
Well, actually, yeah, so we do have Perls. But, you know, in terms of, so that's a good question. I'd have to go back and look and see. We have a lot of collaborators and so on that use the SVN, though, the versions from the SVN. So.
You can set up a sync, you know, some kind of Jenkins job or something that makes the SVN a read-only mirror of Git, but I would like to just finish it and move to
the other one. I don't know.
It's really a management problem, right? How do you manage people and encourage them to use the new one, create the transition?
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that this we've got to get this paper out. We've got to get these changes done, and we got to get the paper out. We need the live version available when the paper comes out, like on our website.
Well, we just leave it up, and then, some combination of redirects will probably get the job done.
What I would propose is that we put the trait ontology there for now and start working on it there. I have a ton of work going on with the trait ontology. And then I could, you know, and then we don't have to, like, mess with, I'd like to test it and use it a little bit before we kind of commit. You can move things around. That's great, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, let's just do it. Yeah, let's start with the trait. So let's go with your diagram here. We'll have a repo called Plantium Ref Ontologies. maybe it's only populated with TO to begin with. Yeah, let's just.
And then, so we need to talk about how we're going to set up these lower versions. So you say we probably don't want to have folders like this that have the.
No, that doesn't reflect. Generally, will get released as a with a kind of Perl structure, and it will be something like slash, you know, po.obo, po.al. So it'll be in the same directory.
I'm going to find where I am now here. Where are we? That's your thing. Here we are. So it would be like this, but we might call it like Plantium ontology files.
Yeah, well, don't use files.
Right. So we talked about Plantium ontologies. I have a piece of paper here with our diagram from when we talked last time. And then under here, we could have a folder. Like right now, we have a folder for plant ontology.
Mm-hmm.
But you said we can change this because it actually has.
You can do a git mv. Mm-hmm.
This and where do you do that git mv? You're saying.
I do it from the command line, but it's up to you. Oh, there's time. Right. Some people like source tree. I don't know what you prefer.
We don't have a preference yet.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a convenient front end for git mv via GitHub?
You can probably do it via GitHub. I'm not sure if I've ever done that. I think you can, yeah.
Yeah.
Like right here?
Mm-hmm, somewhere.
I think so, yeah.
The settings on your repo. Like settings.
Oh.
No, it wouldn't be under settings. Hold on, let me see.
You can change the repository name. So I can do that right now.
Yep.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Oops. It's Friday.
Only three people are watching you. Don't panic.
Planting Wolm.
There we go.
You like that better? You like that better, Chris?
So if you guys refresh.
Yeah, although, sorry, this sounds really, it's just dashes are just a bit more GitHub-y than underscores.
Oh, really?
And lowercase as well, yeah.
You think we should be more GitHub-y?
Yeah, it's up to you, but I do.
I can be GitHub-y.
It's a culture thing.
I certainly agree with the lowercase. But I've sort of been trained not to use, okay. Oh, that looks weird.
It takes a while to get used to, but you'll be with the in tribe now.
Okay, and then this repository, or this, I don't know what you call this now. It's not a repository, but it's...
Yeah, it's older.
It's just older. Right?
I don't think you can move it from within the web interface.
But I could do that in my... On the command line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because this actually has, like, a bunch of ontologies in it, including TO and plant disease and...
Right, but the whole point is to get those moved out of that folder
right. And
get them in their own.
Yeah, the whole collaborators ontology thing, maybe that doesn't quite mean.
Yes, can we please get rid of that?
Yeah, you might have to go into the command line here or source tree or whatever your client is. But
that's fine. We can do that. That's fine. Yeah.
Well, that sounds like that'll work.
Because this is set up kind of like RSVN, so.
Yeah. It was exact copy of RSVN, except for files that wouldn't fit, like the association files.
I think we discussed this before, but do you care about the history, maintaining?
I do care about the history, but I don't know if that's an option or not.
You can. It's just more work. You're going to have to use a tool like git SVN.
You could just say, like, any revisions prior to 2006, 5.1.2, go to this link.
Yeah, I mean, that means you're going to be keeping the SVN up forever if you care about preserving the history forever.
Well, I don't know if we need it's sort of up to you, Justin, what you think in terms of transferring the history.
I tried transferring the history and maybe I didn't do it the correct way, but it moved it with all the files, which wouldn't fit because the association files are too big for GitHub.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was kind of failing out.
You have to do some work in tidying up your repo first. Yeah, it's a bit annoying that. So.
Yeah, and I mean, it has the full, I forgot what I was going to say. It's Friday, man.
It's so Friday today.
I guess if we use the git move after using the git SVN conversion tool, the history would stay, because we wanted to totally redo the whole file folder structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I can just pull in a single folder at a time or...
Yeah, there might file. Be, but I suspect that would be way more work. I think the way you'd have to do it is clean up the big files, do the transfer, and then we go around with git mv and move the directory structure around.
Right. It's up to you how much you want the history, the SVN history in GitHub. I mean, it seems like you guys only need the history really recently or at a from some set point.
That's something we should probably ask the boss.
He'll say keep it all.
Yeah.
But then,
well, he will,
that could be a week of kind of just faffing around, so.
Yeah. Let me see where the, I had the SVN up here. Let's just go and look at the history for the TO SVN. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Do you or others find yourselves referencing that history when you're revising terms?
Yes.
Okay.
Would
you find annoying to have to keep two platforms open to do that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Because like Justin said, you mostly are looking at the more recent stuff. Mostly because before we started doing it here, there wasn't really much history at all. Like, added new traits. Added new terms. Added term.
Right. Yeah, I'm terrible. Those aren't me, but I do commit messages like that all the time. I'm terrible.
Well, and you know, for the Yantel, I think, you know, here's one, a good one. Upload changes.
Yeah. Oh, look at who did all those.
This is being recorded.
So we'll have to do an estimate of how long it would take to convert the full history over, whether or not it's worth the time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think, yeah, I don't know how much work it would be. And then this is the kind of histories I keep. Because I find for when I, you know, especially because I'm working on so many different projects, it's helpful for me. I go back and read it over.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if we want to discuss certain things, then it's right there. What I do is I just keep a text file open while I'm working and just copy it into there. And when I'm done, I just copy and paste it all into the SVN commit thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, except for here, I'll fix a couple of minor typos, but they were pretty small.
All right, well, it sounds like y'all just... It's
kind of a Band-Aid, but you could actually just copy and paste all this and put it in as a single commit when we do the initial transfer.
Yeah, I mean, it's not linked to the actual changes, but maybe that's...
Yeah, right. It's nice because you can look at the file, you can look at the disk.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, are you planning to get rid of the SVN once we transfer this over?
No. I mean, for one thing, we host so many other things on the SVN, and at this point, we haven't found an alternative for the associations. Because when we asked iPlant about it, they're like, yeah, use GitHub, and...
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, that happened when I was in town a couple weeks ago.
At some point, obviously, we have to talk to them. A major architectural assumption is that we use their deep storage for the large association files. It's going to go somewhere.
Yeah, that's the assumption. But like I said, we asked Matt Vaughn about it, and he said, "No, use something else. We're not set up for it." But maybe it was the way Funkus was asking it too. So
understanding and remind them.
Yeah, I don't have a big enough stick to be them.
Yeah,
you sell yourself short.
Anyway, that's interesting information. I hadn't heard that. We in that press release that we wrote up, we just said how nice it was that we were going to have all this stuff stored at iPlant.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get back to this. So let's decide on some action items. It's 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon, and we all kind of have places to go and things to do.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's not worth spending too much time organizing what's in GitHub now without knowing the answer to the question of whether you should preserve the history.
You said we don't have to? I'm sorry.
You say,
we don't have to?
There's not much point in reorganizing what's in GitHub now if you just then decide you want to preserve the history, because you're going to want to start again, basically. Transfer it off into a new repo and then start reorganizing that. I mean, you can still do it as a kind of experiment, you know?
So while we're on the topic, Chris, we're not exactly sure what to do about this other plant trait ontology that's on here. We talked about I talked about this a little bit, but...
You'll ditch it. You're just going to move it into be a subdirectory inside the plantium ontologies.
Well, how in sync is it with the other? Because don't we have another trait ontology?
Yes. I mean, this is completely out of sync, yeah.
Yeah. So forget about it. I mean, move the stuff Ramona added. You're going to make a new directory. We've decided all the references go into one repo called plantium ontologies. So.
Right.
You're just going to take whatever you think is the latest version, which I guess is the one in SVN, and just plunk it into the new structure. Or maybe that will come across if you do the move from SVN.
Is the stuff Ramona put in this directory in the SVN one too?
No.
Okay, so they do need to get merged somehow.
Yeah, don't worry. I can take care of that, man. I mean, what Ramona did is a single commit, so we'll figure it out. Don't worry.
Well, that's not bad.
So we can just... And are they even, were they assigned TO numbers and so on?
No, it's just this file. It looks like some kind of mapping file or something. I don't even know what this is.
It's not a mapping file. It's just a list of traits.
She didn't change the OBO file at all?
No.
There isn't even an OBO file in here. No.
Yeah.
Well, there's an OBO file, isn't there?
Yeah. Forget about this repo. We'll just...
We could save that file of traits because it will need to be.
We'll move it across. It'll be.
It's going to need to be worked on. I mean, we can't just dump it in and.
Well, I'd encourage you to use the file system. You know, put it in a scratch directory or something like that. You know.
Yeah. In progress.
Yeah.
To be added when we actually have someone to help work on this.
And then it'll be preserved. Blow away the repo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I have to go shortly, but I guess you just have to figure out whether you want to preserve the history and deal with however much hassle that will be in terms of removing the big files, transferring across, or whether you just want to make a clean start.
Well, Lowell, I will look into actually making a new version of the SVN repo that's cleaned up, but keep the history of the files we do want, and then look at moving that into Git.
Okay.
You can try it, yeah.
Okay.
So it's kind of a subset of the files, and I might just do it as kind of a test and then blow away the repo when I'm done. But
you can play with it,
I'll play with that.
I'll let you do that. That sounds great if you can handle that, because I'm kind of buried.
I was really hoping to talk about the organization of the rest of the stuff we want to keep in GitHub, but if this is not the time to do that, then maybe we can have another meeting soon. I'm talking about web portal, other visualization tools, data warehouse code from Eugene's group, image annotation code from Sinisa's group. It all needs to live somewhere.
Yeah. Again, I think for software, maybe each individual component should be its own repo. That's my kind of gut feeling, but it's up to you at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I agree. There are some details that Justin brought up about if we're forking off of your Amigo, whether or not... the nature of that fork and the nature of the commits from that, and whether or not we need to preserve stuff outside of Drupal that's not versioned in Drupal. Let me talk to Justin Elser about that, and if anything comes up from that, maybe we can reconvene and talk about it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Hey, Chris, are you around on Tuesday for the ontology call, or is that time not work for you?
I think I can be there this Tuesday, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're going to
do this. Is it this Tuesday or the 16th?
That's 16th is the all hands call.
Oh, okay.
All the grubby hands are there.
Mm-hmm. sorry.
It's just us ontology nerds.
okay.
So you're welcome to come and take part, Justin. I can certainly copy you on those.
I actually probably can next week just because Lily has spring break, so I don't have my schedules wide open next week.
It might be useful, actually, because I'm hoping that Leo, I know Elizabeth's going to be there, and I'm hoping Leo will be there too.
Okay.
So, maybe we can talk with them some more about. So just a little bit of backstory here. I don't know, Justin, if you saw that email from, at the CG centers, they have this trait template, which is basically a spreadsheet. And so he's been working on the rice traits with the head of the Erie down in the Philippines, Rory Sackville Hamilton, and they've been working in the trait template. And so when I replied to him, you know, he replied to me and said, well, I don't think I can put this on the SVN because it doesn't match the OBO file. And so I tried to explain to him, you know, like, it's great to have the trait template to work with the breeders or whoever, but then those concepts need to be transferred into the version of the ontology that's on the SVN, basically, or GitHub, whatever versioning system we're working on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, I think maybe I'm kind of planning on Tuesday to sort of go over this again and sort of explain it again, kind of the philosophy of how this process works. Whether it's SVN or GitHub, it doesn't matter. But you know, right. I've been here long enough that I'm convinced that this is the way to do it. And if I can Leo can learn it. Yeah.
I think don't get too messed up on there being a huge difference between Git and SVN.
Fundamentally,
they're more or less the same. It's GitHub that's adding this extra functionality on top of it.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. But the whole concept of versioning is important.
Yes, that is true, but that is
and
should
so
be more or less the same between Git and SVN. It's just the way it handles internally that's different.
Right. So we don't want to get hung up on those differences. But the point is, we got to get these people into the thinking that you don't just keep this on your own computer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I agree. So I will back you up on whatever you want to say to Leo and Elizabeth about it.
Yeah.
That's a thing. You still have to convince people about this.
Oh, yes.
You want to write it down and put it in the mail to you?
I don't know. It's great education process. So,
sure.
Yeah. So this is great.
All right.
And I told him, you know, and we talked about this at the ontology meeting, that he could put the trait template up as a CSV file. You know, we could just have.
Yeah, because Excel files are terrible things to put in.
Well, not an Excel file, but a CSV file.
Yeah.
Right. It's just a spreadsheet, right? You mean you can put it in a...
Yeah, well, I mean, spreadsheets, if they have formulas or functions, you can't convert them to CSV very well. But if they're just text...
I think they're... From what I've seen of the trait template, it's basically just a spreadsheet. It doesn't have a lot of functionality.
Okay, then it should be something in... can be converted to CSV and put in
and so that was the where we kind of ended the email conversation. So
okay,
I'll follow up on this on Tuesday. So
okay, I will be there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll see you on Tuesday then.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Okay. Thanks,
okay. Bye.
Bye.
Stop.
So just.